Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jake Leone, Corporate Interiors, Catherine Bittner, Wisfis Bank, Pat McGowan, Maximus Partners, and David Rain Stream Companies. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Catherine, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure. We have Dr. Ajay Nair, President of Arcadia University, Jennifer Schaefer, President and CEO, JS Benefits Group, Bill Gullen, President, Finch Brands, and Kathy Young, President of Moore College of Art and Design.
Well, let's get to know our first guest, Dr. Ajay Nair, President of Arcadia University. Dr. Nair, what is Arcadia University? What are you guys doing?
Arcadia University is a comprehensive university, about 4,000 graduate and undergraduate students, another 3,000 in our global programs. We're a leader in global studies and health sciences with over 1,000 employees globally, full-time and part-time.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Grew up in West Philadelphia, Southwest Philadelphia, and Delaware County. I've got two brothers, and I am the middle.
Gotcha. 8 to 14. What were you doing 8 to 14 years old? What's that look like?
Well, I certainly was trying to have some fun. I was a break dancer. I was playing lots of sports. I was delivering the town talk in Delaware County, the newspaper, and I was working at the Rickle Home Center.
All righty. And Catherine, want to give me a hand getting to know Ajay?
Jay, so you mentioned break dancing as a kid. Tell me a little bit why you let the students of Arcadia know about that.
No, Arcadia is an institution that I joined because it values authenticity. And it's one of the few places that I've ever worked where you can be your authentic self, your true self. And so I feel like when I tell my story and tell them all the good, the bad, the ugly, including the breakdancing, it helps our students also tell their stories and bring their authentic selves.
Gotcha. Jake?
Doctor, you mentioned in the green room you were the middle child, but it really wasn't a middle child type of atmosphere. Your younger brother was 14 years younger. How did that shape you into the president you are today?
Yeah, it was a profound impact. You know, my mother passed away when I was about 10. And so when she passed away, my father remarried. And when my half-brother was born, I poured all my love into him. You know, we developed a very close bond when he was young. And it shaped me to who I am today in that I learned how to show love and affection for other people, how to care for others. Today I bring that to my work as president of the university.
Mm-hmm. David?
Jay, in the green room, you mentioned that, you grew up playing sports in a really tight-knit neighborhood, but you also mentioned that you were not like the other kids. And so how, being a different color, did you, navigate not only your childhood, but bring that into your role at Arcadia?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I'm the first person of color to lead Arcadia University, one of the very few Indian university presidents. I think growing up different in some ways gave me the courage to try to break barriers and do things that others perhaps had not done. I grew up practicing that in so many ways. Fortunately, I grew up in a community. I mean, it wasn't always easy, but I grew up in a community where people were curious about my background, and I wasn't afraid to share my differences with them. I think that came from my parents. They were very proud of their culture. And so for me, I bring that to my work. And fortunately, I'm in a community that's accepting of that.
Pat?
Yeah, doctor. It's interesting you mentioned Rickles. I spent a lot of time there with my dad early on. Just on the parents' front, just curious what traits you brought to work to today that you learned from your mom and dad in your earlier years.
You know, in the early years with my mom, I mean, she worked at two different hospitals. She was moonlighting. I mean, she was working all the time. And so it seemed very natural at a young age to start working. And working at the lumberyard in Rickle Home Center was the hardest job I've ever had. And I was doing things a 14-year-old shouldn't have been doing, right? But it taught me what the real world was like, what a real job is like, how to get your hands dirty, and how to serve others. And I approached it all with a lot of humility, and I still do that today.
Mm-hmm. Catherine?
Why Arcadia University?
Arcadia is such a special place. You know, my previous institution was Emory University right before I came to Arcadia. And my family, you know, we were having a great time in Atlanta. But when I got the call about Arcadia, I knew that it was a very special place just in terms of the brand. But my father and my older brother were also ill. And it was an opportunity for me to come home and see them in the sort of last moments of their life, and also simultaneously, you know, lead a university basically in the backyard of where I grew up. And that was a special experience for me. Mm-hmm. It's been a special experience for me.
Dr. Nair, you mentioned that the major, what was the major pivot in your life?
Yeah, you know, I think when I'll talk about in two moments, you know, one, certainly when my mother passed away at a young age, I was lost for a period of time. I felt disconnected from the world around me, and then became further disconnected when my father remarried. But when my half brother was born,
so when you felt disconnected when your mom passed and your dad remarried, what do you think that has to do with the fact that you're now the, it says here that you're the president of Arcadia University, the fact you felt that then and you're doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, you know, so my mother had sacrificed a lot to make her way to the U.S. She when she got married to my dad, she said in India, she said to my dad, we're moving to America. My dad laughed. Because they didn't have the money to move to America. Mm-hmm. They didn't have mm-hmm. the way to move to America. So she did. She made her way to Kuwait and then eventually to Philadelphia mm-hmm. and sacrificed a lot. When she passed away, I had this realization a few years later of that great sacrifice and what I think my role and responsibility was to the community and to my family.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
You know, my mother paved the way for me to have a better life. And for me, it was a calling to be part of higher education and to pave the way for other people as well.
Mm-hmm. How about emotionally what you went through as a kid? How's that helping you since you're the president of Arcadia?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a child, anybody that goes through that sort of loss of a parent or a family member, it's impactful. And it makes you, hopefully, if you come out of the other side of it, it makes you more resilient. And it helps you value the idea of relationships and family.
I got a question. You're the president of this well-known university. Do you ever like get out and talk to the kids, or do you sit in your office all the time and pontificate?
Yeah, no, that's not the president I am. In fact, when I joined the university, several mentors said to me, "Oh, you sure you want to do this? You're not going to get to spend any time with students." And I said, "Well, then they're doing it wrong." And so I'm out and about with the students all the time. I thrive off of relationships and relationship building, and being with the students keeps me feeling young, and I hope I give them something too in return.
But I guess the other benefit of being the president of Arcadia is that you get to go to work, you know, 9 to 5 or 10 to 3, and you don't ever have to do stuff on the weekends or stuff like that, right?
You know what? I will say that this job is 24/7, but Arcadia is my extended family. I don't view it as a job at all. And community members will, you know, view me, right, as part of their family as well. We have a very tight-knit community. And in some ways, to your point, I think my joining higher education and higher education community is an extension of my lived experiences as a child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long have you been the president?
8 years.
Do you say, you think you're ever going to retire?
I'm hoping I retire from Arcadia. You know, I've got another 6 years left on my new contract with Arcadia. And it's hard to see myself as president of any other place. This is my family.
This is your family, huh? That's interesting. So you really do enjoy the relationships that you have It says it just so happens you're the university president, but it sounds like it really is a family to you, really is the community to you. What is the website address for Arcadia University?
It's www.arcadia.edu.
We've been speaking with Dr. Ajay Nair, president of Arcadia University, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. And your name, organization, and what makes your organization special?
Alex Varshenko Doodle. Most business owners I talk to have at least one thing in their operation that they know can work better. But every solution that they found was either too expensive, too generic, or required them to change how they actually work just to fit the software. That's what the 1K Challenge is built for. I learn how your business actually runs, and I build the one tool that fits your team, not the other way around. I'll have a working prototype in one call. If I can't, I'll give you $1,000. If I can, you give me a shot at finishing it. To take the challenge, go to dothe1k.com. dothe1k.com.
So you really have confidence in your technology ability, and what you're proposing is that for those that need technology, get on a Zoom call with you. You'll develop the basic application right then and there. And if you can't, then you'll give them $1,000. Otherwise, let them give you a shot at further developing the technology. And your website address one more time?
dothe1k.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Scholarships limited by race, segregated graduation ceremonies in dorms, professors labeling students as oppressors based on skin color, gender, or religion. This is DEI in action. Divisive, toxic, and un-American. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed of a nation where his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. DEI turns that dream upside down. But there's hope. DEI is being rolled back through civil rights enforcement, federal funding cuts, and growing cultural resistance to its harm in schools, workplaces, and communities. America is strongest when united, not divided. Our universities should lead the way in bringing people together, not driving them apart. Visit campusreform.org to learn more about the fight against DEI on college campuses. Restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one story at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know Jennifer Schaefer, President and CEO of JS Benefits Group. Jennifer, what is JS Benefits Group? What are you doing?
We're an employee benefits and HR consulting firm based in Newtown, PA.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
Langhorne, Pennsylvania. I grew up and I am in the middle, older sister, younger stepbrother.
All righty. And you mentioned, why do you have a stepbrother?
My parents divorced when I was about 8, and that's a story unto itself.
All righty. And you mentioned that you were playing softball and that you went to work in your dad's business when you were about 8 years old. Didn't that sort of stink? Your friends are out playing and you're working with your dad?
No, it gave me the ability to spend time with my father. So I loved that part of it. He owned part of a building materials company in Bensalem, PA. Mm-hmm. And I would go there on the weekends and help him all the time.
So you really you got business. You learned to love business early in your life. By the way, when you were in school, what was your favorite subject, and what's that have to do with who you are nowadays?
So math, and that would maybe be why my language skills are not as good as some of the others on here.
Well, it sounds to me like you're probably pretty good with numbers, and your language skills are pretty good too. Pat, you want to give me a hand getting to know Jennifer, please?
Yeah, certainly. Jennifer, you mentioned softball was kind of your favorite sport growing up. What was your role on the team, and how does that sort of influence how you lead JS today?
So I was the captain of our team. I played left field, left-handed. They kind of put me out there. I was on a traveling team, played through school. I was the first batter. I'm little, but I was always on base, and it's just the competitiveness, the team atmosphere. I loved it growing up.
What's that have to do with who you are nowadays? Tell us more about that.
I think it's just helped me persevere. I notice a lot of people that are successful are in sports, and you just keep going.
David.
Hi, Jennifer. You also mentioned that the divorce was very impactful on your life and as well as your father's death. So how did navigating both those huge moments in your life help you lead JNS on a daily basis?
So my parents' divorce really impacted me because I realized my mom was very vulnerable, and my life has been driven by that. I didn't want to be dependent on someone else, and I looked at my father's life as what I wanted. My dad is alive. He's at Christ Home in personal care, but close enough. So he really played a major influence of how he lived his life and the friendships he's made. People still visit him at Christ Home that worked for him, and I try to model his behavior in my own life.
Jake.
Hi, Jennifer. You built a company on helping employees take care of their people. Help me connect your company's mission to some of the influences from your childhood.
So, really, trying to be loyal, caring about people. Somebody made a big mistake yesterday at our office, and understanding that this person is way. Everybody makes mistakes. It's okay. And that their job is not in jeopardy. And that, we just learn from the things that we're doing and we try to get better at it.
So you have a great deal. You have a great deal of empathy, it sounds like. Catherine.
Jennifer, you also mentioned the green room about proving something to your father. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, that's a whole day, isn't it? Or a year? I think my whole life I've been trying to have him notice me and actually like me. So my father's 94 years old. He doesn't really like women like me. And that I see that in just his interactions with some of my friends versus me, he likes women that are dependent on people. And so my dad and I have had that dynamic my whole life.
You mentioned your best friend's first name is Vicky, and that she knows that you, I know Pat was going to ask you this, but that she knows that you spend a lot of your time helping other people. Why do you spend a lot of time helping other people, according to your best friend?
Well, it's partly what my dad has done, and I've learned that from him. I go, my dad being at Christ's home, I'm there almost every day, making sure that he's okay. I have a foundation that helps actually not people, but animals that I've created. And I try to give back and help people succeed in their own lives if they if they want to do what we're doing at JS Benefits or something else, where if you work hard, you don't have to be the most talented. If you put the effort in, the turtle wins the day.
What was the major pivot in your life? We were talking about that earlier, and it seemed like there were a couple of them. What were the major pivots in your life, and how are they affecting you?
You know, I don't even know how being adopted from Catholic Charities has affected me. It's just that I've read that there's a lot to that with abandonment. Certainly my parents' divorce, and then later my mom had tried to kill herself multiple times, that I think very much affected me and pushed me more towards my father in a way of how to model my life towards success. So all of those have been pivoting for me.
So it sounds to me like you really value relationships. That's why that loyalty thing is so important to you. And so my bet is that you don't have the typical employee turnover for an employee benefits firm, nor do you have the typical client turnover. My bet is you probably develop pretty deep relationships with your clients as well as your teammates. Am I reading that correctly?
You are, but I actually received an email this morning from a former client that asked to come back. I just got that email. So yes, we have long-term, really, we're all getting older. So our healthcare is expensive too, but a lot of the people that have worked, they've worked with me for 20 years, 30 years since I've started. And yeah, we do have long-term clients that we've kept. And I was very proud of this morning that a former client emailed me asking to come back.
Yeah, it sounds to me like, you know, I'm not, by no means does it sound like you had an easy childhood considering what was going on, but it sounds to me like the upside of it all is that it's really helped you develop, as opposed to getting further separated from people. It's really helped you appreciate the depth of relationships, who you can depend on in terms of your teammates. And also you wanted to make sure that your clients can depend on you and your team. Am I reading that correctly?
I think it also, when my mom would come home from work, I had to be able to read her and what was going to happen. And I realized that's helped me very much. And because I go out, I do sales today, I love it. And I can read people so quickly. And I attribute that to my mother of having to understand what was coming as, you know, the evening progressed. And she, in that way, she really helped my career.
So it sounds to me like you really, you know, you learn about adaptability, reading people. It just so happens you're in the employee benefits business, which it's sort of interesting that you're in the business of helping people, helping employers help their people. You're all about helping people, period. That's the bottom line. Am I seeing that correctly?
I think so. I think most of us realize that healthcare is a pretty tough business. And what I've realized is we really are helping people navigate this process. I sometimes do have to explain to people that I didn't create it and that we're here to help them, and walking people off the ledge quite often we're doing. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you're all about intimate long-term relationships. What's the website address for this organization known as JS Benefits Group?
It's www.jsbenefitsgroup.com. And yes, I wish I would have understood what the business was becoming. I would have picked a different name.
We were getting to know Jennifer Schaefer, President and CEO of JS Benefits Group, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after the quick break.
Spring cleaning isn't just for your house. It's for your life. If your job is getting old, it's time to clear the clutter and spring into IT. Go to My Computer Career.
My Computer Career helped me get the skills and certifications I needed to start a new life as an IT professional in months, not years.
Earn the certifications the top employers are looking for right now. Visit mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation to see if it's time to spring into IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The disastrous nexus of social media usage and political parlays comes into sharp focus. And can the Federal Reserve handle the sticker shock from the war in Iran? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Reach your destination, not the ditch, with Issy Tire Socks, the amazing new solution to keep you from slipping and sliding in snow and ice. And anyone can install them in minutes for emergency traction and quick trips in the winter. Issy is the global leader in tire socks, and it's no wonder why. Issy is an essential part of your winter emergency kit, whether you drive a car, SUV, or light truck. Give the gift of grip for safer driving. Available at Amazon, Walmart, and other major retailers. Don't get stuck. Get Issy, I-S-S-E, really, Issy.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this, or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Spring cleaning isn't just for your house, it's for your life. If your job is getting old, it's time to clear the clutter and spring into IT. Go to My Computer Career.
My Computer Career helped me get the skills and certifications I needed to start a new life as an IT professional in months, not years.
Earn the certifications the top employers are looking for right now. Visit mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation to see if it's time to spring into IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Bill Gullin, president of Finch Brands. Bill, what is Finch Brands? What are you guys doing?
We're a 60-person brand consultancy, from market research through design through brand strategy.
Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
I am from the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, Northwest Philadelphia, and I'm an only child. So the pecking order began and ended with me.
What makes an only child special?
Everyone's different, but you know, growing up, a lot of friends and kids around in the neighborhood, so I sort of had siblings on demand. But being an only child, I think, gave me an appreciation for more self-directed activities, a love of reading, the desire and need to create entertainment for myself.
So this creating entertainment for yourself, what's that have to do with your being the president of Finch Brands? Is creativity?
Sure. Certainly my creative side was nurtured through growing up as an only child, though we had a close and loving family as a kid. Mm-hmm. Coming up with games or coming up with things to do or falling in love with books and characters, a lot of that nurtured that side of me.
What was your role with the kids in the neighborhood?
I was you know, one of the guys, but I was also a convener. We were, as many people talk about, we would go out and play sports or whatever until dark. And I found that I was often kind of an organizer. And
oh, yeah. What's being the organizer the neighborhood kids have to do with your being the president of Finch Brands?
Well, there's a lot of organization at Finch. And I think the organizational side, the desire to bring people together, you know, is a threat to my life.
Gotcha. Catherine, will you give me a hand, please?
Sure. Hey, Bill, you mentioned a deep love of sports as a kid. And since you're not playing professionally now, how have you remained connected to sports running Finch Brands?
Geez, I just missed, Catherine. I was about to be Hall of Fame. But no, I think that there's a competitive side that was awakened in me in part through sports that is also a thread through my professional life and everything else that I do. But some of the other aspects and lessons from team sports, teamwork, the ability to bring different skills together to improve the whole, a lot of the needs that you have to relate to people in different ways who may come at their position or their role from very different places. Those are all leverageable every single day in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Jake?
Sticking with the sports theme there, Bill, you know, you mentioned it at eight, you were the star athlete. By 14, you weren't going to make the MLB. You know, so tell me a little bit about how that, those experiences and competition there relate to, you know, adaptability in your company.
Yeah. I mean, I originally intended to replace Mike Schmidt at third base, and pretty soon I realized that nature, you know, I'm 5'8", and then I needed to replace Harry Callis behind the broadcasting mic. Now, I appreciated over that journey of sports and everything else, an appreciation for, you know, not only dreams, but limitations, and the need to be adaptable, to bring one's strengths and apply them in different ways. Certainly is also something that's been an important part of my professional life.
How? Well, give me an example of how being the president of Finch Brands with 60 employees, give me a specific example of what you learned about not being able to be a professional baseball star has anything to do with your being able to succeed with Finch Brands.
Well, I mean, for our team of 60, it requires a range of different skills. We're not everybody's going to do everything to the greatest degree. And so compensating through people or training or everything else through, you know, in the areas where we need development and leaning into the areas where people have natural strengths and working with them to bring those strengths to the fore.
Sounds to me like you're really in the people business as opposed to the advertising business. David, you want to give me a hand, please?
Yeah. So, Bill, diving a little bit deeper into being the only child growing up, has that been a strength or a weakness as it relates to both the creative and leadership process at Finch?
Well, I think it's a strength in a lot of ways, but it's also a challenge. I mean, as I mentioned, being an only child nurtured in me a comfort with an independent mind that is important to what we do. The deep thought, let's create order and go deep on something. But at the same time, as we just described, it is a people business, and I think being an only child, amid others and within a community, delivers both sides of that, or it did for me.
Mm-hmm. Pat?
Yeah, Bill, you mentioned in addition to sports, politics was something you fell in love with at a young age. How does that kind of correlate to what you're doing today?
Yeah, well, I didn't realize it at the time, Pat, but after the fact, retrospectively, when I fell in love with politics, it was really, you know, political philosophy is what I studied in college, political theory. And there is a thread that is obvious, again, after the fact, with brands, what we do. I mean, brands are systems of belief. Brands are designed to move and organize people. Brands are designed to connect at a values level with customers. And what drew me to politics was exactly those things, those fundamental questions about who gets what in a free society, what does justice mean, all of those things that really tickled me academically, I find are very similar to the work we do for client brands.
Mm-hmm. Jake?
Sorry.
There we go.
Two kids, wife. What did you learn from your kids? I have a few and learned plenty, but how did you learn from your kids?
There's a lot in my own personal skill set, but I think my daughter and son, 15 and 13, could not be more different from one another. Yet there are echoes of my wife and I in each of them, yet it plays out in very different ways, both in terms of interests as well as in terms of personalities. And so
what have you learned from your kids that's helped you build this business?
Well, I think their differences, Herb, as I was going to say, was it illustrates in sharp relief the differences between people, how people need and are motivated in different ways, how they're nurtured in different ways, how they're coached in different ways. It can't be one size fits all either at home or at work. People come from different places and have different, you know, perspectives. And that is an important thing to capture as a leader.
So you say, it sounds to me like your study is people. It's like you're just keep everything about you is like people, 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 people. It sounds to me like, oh, by the way, you just happen to be in the business of advertising and marketing. Am I wrong about this?
Branding and advertising and marketing is about moving people in a direction. It's about helping them understand the options that are in front of them. It's about helping them make the right choices for them at the right moments. So it is all about people. And I think for all of your guests, people is a thread through all successful business people, but particularly in my industry.
How young were you when you started marketing? And give me a specific example, 8 to 14.
Oh, geez. Well, my first, don't tell the constable, but my first entrepreneurial venture was a little later than 14, was buying a keg and selling cups in a parking lot. I think the statute of limitations has expired, but I mean, that triggered, you know, a love of bringing people together, but also an ability to find some gainful outcomes.
So you understand business models as well, breaking bulk,
yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And marketing. And how young were you when you started making money?
Mid-teens. My first job, other than helping my dad, where he would give me some pay, even though I should have just done it dutifully. Mm-hmm. My first job was teaching tennis in the summers, running camps and giving lessons. You know, that brought together a love.
What did you do different than all the other tennis instructors?
Well, I think my youthful exuberance hopefully shone through. I mean, I made it fun for the kids. We created all these games and different point systems that would engage them in a way beyond just the form of a forehand or a backhand. And that helped keep them joyful in that experience. That was.
It sounds to me like you were building a team, just like you're doing at Finch Brands as the tennis instructor as a kid. Am I reading that right?
And at the very least, I was trying to make it fun, even though they were learning skills that hopefully would make them better and help the game stick for them. But in the moment, they really needed for it to be fun, even as they were learning.
Not only were you developing a team as a tennis instructor, but you're also coming up with creative ways to get the team involved. So it sounds to me like you're creative, not just for your clients, but also in terms of your own team building and developing your team to help your clients take things to the next level. Right, wrong? What are you thinking?
Things stick if they're fun. So when it's teaching or developing folks, the joy in that process, it's not just about joy in the outcome. The journey itself has to be joyful or else.
What's the website address for Finch Brands?
FinchBrands.com.
Give me that one more time.
FinchBrands.com.
We've been speaking with Bill Golan, president of Finch Brands, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, that's executiveleadersradio.com. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break.
This is Herb Cohen, your host at executiveleadersradio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be, and they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
How we pay for goods and services online and at retail is evolving, fusing convenience with security. Visa's Mark Nelson, head of consumer payment products, says Visa recently announced 7 new and exciting technologies. Mark shared a couple with me here.
But we've introduced a flexible credential whereby a single card can be what you want it to be depending on the transaction type. We've also introduced this concept of a pass key, and it's all around how do we make payments safer and easier to use online. We also announced this thing called a data token, which allows the customer to get a little bit more control in terms of where they want to share their data. So if they want to share data with a third party, they can enable a better shopping experience all through AI. And it's a way in which the consumers can have a little bit more control over who they share their data with.
More info is at visa.com. That's simply visa.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute. This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
On a recent episode of Tech It Out, I caught up with Visa's Rob Cameron, Global Head of Acceptance Solutions, to talk about digital natives like Gen Z and how they're shaping the future of payments.
We talk about Gen Z didn't have to learn technology. They were literally born into it. And as a result, it makes them more open and accepting to new technology innovations we see. They're more trusting. And as this generation, which by the way, is going to represent about 27% of the workforce next year, starts to enter the economy, these fintech companies that create solutions for them are quite rightly racing to create solutions to engage them.
And Visa Acceptance Solutions is at the forefront of trusted digital payments. Build the future of payments with modular solutions, which you can learn more about at visaacceptance.com. That's visaacceptance.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-960-3377. That's 800-960-3377. 800-960-3377.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know Kathy Young, President of Moore College Art and Design. Kathy, what is the Moore College of Art and Design?
Moore College of Art and Design is a career-focused art and design college. We are the only independent art and design college in Philadelphia.
Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Well, I grew up sort of all over the place. I have five half-brothers and sisters. I am the youngest and really grew up as an only child because the youngest of them was 12 years older than me, so they were all out of the house as I was growing up. I'm the child of my father's second marriage.
Mm-hmm. What was going on with your mom and dad when you were a kid?
So I lost both my parents very young. My mother died when I was 8 and my father died when I was 14. And so in that period of time from 8 to 14, I lived with various different relatives. I went to 7 different schools. I moved in and out of a lot of different communities, different family units. Also, I had a number of years of just me and my dad. So it was a lot of change, a lot of transition for me.
Mm-hmm. What's all that stuff have to do with your role? What'd that do to you? What's all that have to do with your role as the president of Moore College Art and Design?
Well, I think really two things. One is it taught me how to navigate change and how to sit in change and sort of the disorientation that comes with change and find my way through that and be comfortable in that. The other thing was it taught me how to go into a new situation with new people, new values, new things those folks cared about, and sort of learn who they were and find ways to connect. And I use that every day in my job.
You're telling me that the president of a college needs to understand who the people are and what the people need, and then also to be able to navigate change?
Well, I think it's no secret higher ed is in a big moment in this country right now. So definitely higher ed leadership is change leadership. But actually, that's what I've been doing in my career all my life. Gotcha. As far as people, yeah, I think leading a college is first and foremost about understanding all the people, the students, faculty, staff, alums, board, donors, friends, and then who they are, what they care about, and how, as a leader, you get folks aligned and sharing the same vision.
Gotcha. Catherine?
Kathy, you mentioned the green room, love for choreography. How does that connect to your work at college, at Morgan?
Yeah, so I would say not just love for choreography, but for 35 years, that was my professional career. I was a choreographer, I was a dance artist, I was a dance educator. And I actually think everything I do as a college president, as far as leadership, I learned as a choreographer. So it's really about first bringing people together, creating a shared vision, getting people to buy in. As a choreographer, I always wanted people who were more talented than I was in the room with me, dancing with me, so that I could be inspired by them and learn from them. I think it's also about understanding where you have to edit, what's got to be cut, where you amplify, what needs to be expanded, and then the continual feedback loop of constantly assessing, what am I doing here? Is this as strong as it could be? How could I make it better?
Mm-hmm. Jake?
You know, college, talking about college students, certainly come in with some feelings and anxiety about instability, uncertainty, maybe lack of direction. You know, connect that back to your childhood and how you're uniquely positioned to help those college students.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly we all recognize that young people right now are living in a time that's very challenging. And there is so much, I think, coming at them that is different than, for example, people of my generation and what we were dealing with as we were growing up. I think the main message for young people is to be curious, be learning, and be willing to trust your own intuition and your own sense of the direction that you want to take and where to go. And to me, what we do as a college is we seek to make our students feel empowered and strong in who they are so that they can navigate their way and know that they've got the skills to do that.
Mm-hmm. You got anything else, Jake, or are you good? And
let's connect that back to gymnastics. In the green room, you told us, you know, gymnastics was maybe an outlet for you.
Yeah, for sure. You
know, childhood lost to gymnastics to who you are today. It was a great story.
Yeah. So after my father passed when I was 14, I was pretty deep in grief and I was living with my aunt and uncle at that time. And my aunt gave me about 4 months to lie around on the couch all day, every day. And then basically said, you know, you got to get up and do something. Either you figure it out or I'm going to give you a whole lot of work to do. So I joined the gymnastics team at my school and immediately fell in love with it. And it was a way that I was able to process my grief because it demanded total immersion, total focus, a lot of self-discipline, a lot of drive. And again, I think those ways of engaging are ways that serve our students well. They're already completely immersed, they're artists, but the discipline, the drive, and the sort of sense of practicing every day, practicing your skills, that sets them up for their career success.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, just curious, how did you make the pivot from dance and choreography into the higher ed world?
Yeah, so I was always, as a dance artist, teaching in higher ed institutions as an adjunct faculty member and then as a tenured faculty member or as a visiting artist. So I was always an educator and always in that higher ed world. And I started to get opportunities to kind of move up the administrative ladder as a chair, as a dean. And what I realized was that leading in that way gave me the same satisfaction as choreographing. And it felt the same to me in terms of creating a vision and then engaging people, supporting people, working with people to bring that vision to life.
Mm-hmm. Catherine?
Kathy, what have you learned from marriage or your kids and in your building of Moore College?
Oh my gosh. I learn from my marriage and my kids every day. I think with my kids, I learn a lot about what is important to young people now. I mean, it makes me so old to say that, but I had this revelation the other day that I am the age of the grandparents of our current college students. It's like, whoa. So yeah, I think my kids really keep me plugged in to what it is like to be a young person navigating this world right now. My marriage, I will say my husband is my total hero. He is a rock star. And the thing that he does is constantly pay attention to what all the people around him need and then take care of it before anybody even asks. So I learn from watching him every day. And he does that without asking for recognition or glory. He just takes care of things. And that's a model for me as a leader.
Sounds to me like you have a lot of respect for people. What's that have to do with your successful role as president of Moore College Art and Design?
Well, I think it's really important for me. You know, I am reminded every day that I am not the person with all the answers. There are a lot of people around me who know a lot more than I do. And that if I don't have the humility to listen and to learn from everybody, including all of our students, including everybody who works there, our alums, everybody, then I can't do my job as a leader.
Mm-hmm. Website address for the Moore College Art and Design?
Website is Moore, Moore.edu.
We've been speaking with Kathy Young, who is the president of Moore College of Art and Design here on Executive Leaders Radio. Catherine, could you give us a rundown on who we've had on the air today, please?
Sure. We're thrilled to have Dr. Ajay Nair, president of Arcadia University, Jennifer Schaefer, president and CEO of JS Benefits Group, Bill Gullen, President Finch Brands, and Kathy Young, President of Moore College of Art and Design.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Jake Leone, Corporate Interiors, Catherine Bittner, Wisfis Bank, Pat McGowan, Maximus Partners, and David Rain, Stream Companies, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders and our nonprofit, realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org, introducing students to the CEOs. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
In Roanoke, Virginia, Vietnam veteran Bill McCann turned a single act of kindness into a regional movement. After meeting a struggling veteran at a VA hospital, McCann founded Vittles for Vets. The organization provides grocery gift cards so veterans can choose healthy food themselves rather than rely solely on handouts. Since launching the charity, hundreds of thousands of dollars in food assistance have reached veterans facing financial hardship. McCann rarely discusses Vietnam. Instead, he focuses on restoring dignity to those who served beside him decades ago. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.